Hope you brought your Bibles with you tonight. We're going to be looking at Psalm 13. And this is a psalm that overall expresses great confidence in God. And so let's turn to this psalm that is a psalm of David. It is only 6 verses long, but it can be a psalm of great comfort if we will look at what is being said in this psalm and understand how David processed some of the same emotions that we process today also. Again, this is a psalm of confidence, because at the end of the psalm, although David has several afflictions, he expresses that he will trust in the Lord. Now, as we look through this psalm, we're going to see 3 things. First of all, David asks God to count how long he's had some difficulties. Secondly, he asks God to consider. And then finally, he shows his confidence. So let's think about these 3 things as we think about Psalm 13, confidence in God. Notice verses 1 through 1 and 2 to begin with. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? David wants God to count for him. How long is the question that he is asking here? And you know, this is a question that I think when we are enduring difficulties and problems and sufferings, we ask the same thing. How long am I going to have to go through these troubles? How long will it be until things are better? How long until whatever it is that I'm dealing with is resolved? David had the exact same feelings. He also was wondering how long in this particular psalm as well. First of all, he wonders how long until the Lord remembers him, because he says, "Will you forget me forever?" And you know, sometimes that attitude is something that we feel also when we're undergoing great sufferings or tremendous difficulties. We can feel like the Lord has forgotten us. And of course, that's not the case. That is, that the Lord has forgotten us. Rather, it is the case that God remembers us, even though we may not feel like he sees or he knows or he understands. Our feelings certainly don't reflect the truth about what God knows and what God considers and what God sees and what God understands. But as a human going through difficult times, we can feel that way. We can wonder if God has forgotten. In fact, in Isaiah 49, there, Jerusalem, Zion, is pictured as saying, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." But listen to God's response to that statement. He says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." God would not forget Zion. He would not forget Jerusalem. And of course, that's referring to his people that he would not forget. And he talks in terms of having them carved into his hands. That's how important God feels to remember us. Now, when David says how long, and then he asks whether or not God will remember him, of course, he's expressing a very personal emotion. But God always remembers. Even Jesus felt this when he was hanging on the cross, and he quoted from the Psalms and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27 and verse 46. And so this is a very human feeling that sometimes we feel like God has left us. God has forgotten us. God has forsaken us. But even though we may feel that way, rest assured that is not the case. God always sees. He always knows. He always remembers. The very hairs of our head are numbered, and he knows every sparrow that falls. And so God does not forget us. But sometimes we feel like that. How long will I be sorrowful? Here's the second question he asks here in verse 2, or verse 1. How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will I be sorrowful? There may be many who feel like that because of grief or depression or health problems, and those things can afflict us for a long period of time and make us very sorrowful over a long period of time. And David was asking these same questions. Different things cause us to feel sorrowful. Jesus was sorrowful. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And Paul had several occasions when he was sorrowful. But he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 and 9, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. When we think about the sorrow we have within our life, what the scriptures are exhorting us to do is to focus on the good. Focus on that which is positive in nature. Turn our minds away from what is causing our sorrow and turn them toward something that is going to encourage us. And that's what Paul does here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 and 9. Even though he has all of these difficulties, being hard-pressed, being perplexed, being in despair, being struck down, being persecuted. But yet, he says, I'm not going to let those things control my thinking. I'm not going to let those things control my feelings. I'm going to recognize the blessings that I do have, focus on those things, and move forward in service to God. And David also asked this question, how long will my enemies be exalted over me? And perhaps this isn't something that we have as much as David did. We know that David was persecuted directly by Saul. He also had enemies among the Philistines at certain times and other nationalities who were persecuting him. We know that even his own son was his enemy at some point. And David was wondering, how long? How long are those enemies going to be elevated? Well, we don't have the same kind of enemies that David had, but perhaps there are some people in our life that we find vexing or that seek to vex us or maybe bully us or not treat us as well as perhaps we might think we should be treated. And certainly, we will have to put up with some of that in this life. But we will ask, how long will my... And it seems like when that's happening that we're being put down and they're being elevated. But that's not necessarily the case. But certainly David felt that. You see, these are feelings that David is expressing here in this psalm. How long will God forget me? How long will I be sorrowful? How long will my enemies be elevated over me? And just because we feel that way, and David felt that way, it doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. And certainly, there is an end to these things for the faithful child of God. And there may be even an end to these things that press us and create difficulties for us, even in this life, if we will be patient and if we will endure what is going on. Well, he turns to the Lord in verses 3 and 4 and utters a prayer, a request. And his request is to the Lord to consider. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. David understood that the resolution to the way that he felt was to turn to God in prayer and ask God for his consideration. He wanted God to consider him, and he also wanted God to hear him and to enlighten his eyes, verse 3 tells us. So we need to pray for God to help us when we don't understand everything that is going on. In Mark 9, in verse 24, in Mark 9, that whole chapter, there's a man who brings a child to Jesus, and his child is afflicted terribly by a demon, and it causes his child to do all kinds of terrible things to himself. And he's in desperate straits. He needs great help. And Jesus says, anything is possible if you believe. And the man's response is this, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think that's where David finds himself here also. He believes, but he needs help. He needs help in his unbelief. That is, to turn his unbelief into belief. And that's what this man prayed for, and that's what David seems to be praying for also. Enlighten my eyes. Give me some kind of understanding of this situation and this circumstance so that I can deal with it better and understand more about it. This is not a prayer of doubt. This is a prayer of faith, even though it shows some very deep personal emotions within it. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Sometimes what we need more than anything is understanding about the situation and about the circumstances and about what's happening to us. That's what David prayed for. And David had some fears here that he expresses in this psalm relative to his lack of understanding. He wants to be enlightened for fear that he would die. He wants to be enlightened for fear that his enemies could say that they had prevailed against him and that those who trouble him would rejoice. So these are very common emotions that people have and that we must work through as we experience these things. David did not want to die in his present circumstances, and certainly that's a healthy desire. God is a God of life. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't come to bring death. He came to bring life. That doesn't mean that death isn't real. We are warned and admonished that there is an appointed time for our death. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And that we must make preparation for that. But that doesn't mean that we ought to seek it out. That doesn't mean we ought to pursue it. God wants us to have a good life. He wants us to live a good life. Even Peter said as much when he said that those who would have a good life and have many days, let them refrain their tongue from evil and their lips that they speak no guile. You know, there is a path to having a good life, and the Bible sets that path forth. And David understood that, and he expressed that he didn't want to sleep the sleep of death. He also did not want his enemies to say that they had prevailed over him. Now, David had some real physical enemies who were actually seeking his death. They wanted him to die so that they could take control of everything that he had. But we don't necessarily have that kind of enemy looking out for us. But there is one enemy that every single person has, and that enemy is the devil. And Peter tells us that our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. But God has promised that the devil will be defeated. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So you see, God is going to deal with the devil. He's going to ultimately conquer our greatest enemy. We simply need to put our faith and trust in him, as David did. And so David does not want his enemies to say that they have prevailed over him. And neither should we want our enemy, the devil, to say that he has prevailed over us. And so we should then turn to the Lord in confidence. And that's what David does here at the end of this psalm. Look at verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. David, for a moment, thinks about his own feelings and the problems that he has. But then, after he has worked through those things, he realizes that ultimately his confidence is in God. And so he says, I have trusted in your mercy. David doesn't necessarily have all the answers at this point. He doesn't know what's going to happen between him and his enemies. He doesn't have the answer to the question of how long he's going to have to endure these things. He does not know that. But he knows this, that he's going to trust God regardless of what may come. That's the attitude that we need to have when we are dealing with troubles in our life also. Psalm 103 and verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. David says, I have trusted in your mercy. Maybe God is not responding to us in the moment, but eventually he will. And he will grant us the things that we truly desire. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our steps. The Lord will provide for us if we will trust in Him, even though we may have to wait for some period of time before that happens. And so David says, "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Even though he has sorrows, even though he has enemies, even though he has the threat of death over his head, and he feels like the Lord has forsaken him, yet he is still going to rejoice in the Lord's salvation. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 11, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." When we consider and take stock of what we do have in our relationship with God, then that is going to overwhelm all of the things that we consider that we don't have. And it's going to remind us of what those true blessings are. "Rejoice in the Lord always," Paul writes. "Again, I say rejoice," Philippians 4 and verse 4. And certainly on this side of the cross, looking back at what God has done for man, both in the Old Testament and the New, we have even greater consolation today to rejoice for the wonderful things that God has in store for us. And so David ends this psalm with a song. He says here in verse 6, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." When he measures everything up, when he takes everything into consideration, his conclusion is, "The Lord has dealt bountifully with me." And would that each one of us could say that within our lives also. "The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. He's met all of my needs. He's provided for everything that I ever needed. And he has given it generously. And even gone above and beyond that and given me many things that I have that I really don't need in my life." What a blessing it is to have God as our Lord. Paul wrote this in Philippians 4 and verse 19. He said, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Whatever it is that we need, God will supply it if we will put our faith and trust in him. If we will put our confidence in him as David did. If we will trust in his mercy and rejoice in his salvation, then God will supply everything that we need. And then we can turn to praise him just as David did. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." What a wonderful way this psalm ends, in David singing a psalm of praise to the Lord, thankful for all that God has done and how he has bountifully blessed him. Our emotions and our feelings are certainly complicated, and they can be overwhelming at times. But if we will study through these psalms and look and see that David and others went through the same problems that we go through today, and let those psalms really speak out to us, then we can understand what they understood and have the same resolution that they had as well. Three things in this psalm that the psalmist requests. He requests of the Lord to count. How long? Second, he requests of the Lord to consider. And then finally, he expresses his confidence in God. This evening, we offer the invitation of Jesus Christ that he will provide all your needs if you will put your faith and trust in him by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how we put our faith and confidence in Jesus Christ today. And all of these great promises that we see in the New Testament may then be ours. Maybe you need the prayers of the church to deal with some trouble that you're going through right now. You can pray to God, certainly, and he will hear those prayers, but sometimes we need a little more than that. We need the comfort of God's people to help us. And certainly the Psalms are written to do that as well. And this evening, if you'd like to make any requests, we are ready to hear that request and respond to it appropriately. And so whatever your need may be, we invite you to come, make it known now, while together we stand and sing this song of invitation.